Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Text 1. Suta uvacha evam nishamya bhagavan devarsher janma karmacha uya prapachatam bhavan vyasa satyavati shuta. Translation. Sutta said, O Brahmanas, thus hearing all about Sri Narada's birth and activities, Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God, and son of Satyavati, inquired as follows. Purport. Vyasadeva was further inquisitive to know about the perfection of Naradaji, and therefore he wanted to know about him more and more. In this chapter, Naradaji will describe how he was able to have a brief audience with the Lord while he was absorbed in transcendental thought of separation from him, and when it was very painful for him. Om Jnanatimadandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Pancha kalpa taru bhyascha kripa sindhu bhaye vicha patitanam bhavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So again, just to put it in a very simple context, the sages of Namashranya, that was back in chapter 4, were very happy that they would hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and asked about its speakers and hearers. So the first question they asked was how Vyasadeva got his inspiration and where he took up this great work. So Sutta Goswami began to narrate that history of Vyasadeva compiling the Vedic literatures, feeling insufficient in his work and therefore despondent, and therefore inquiring from his spiritual master as to the cause of the despondency. Ultimately, his philosophy was incomplete because he hadn't sufficiently glorified Krishna, and therefore Narada Muni began to explain that point to him of the value and necessity of directly glorifying Krishna. He pointed out that was the root cause of his problem, and then pointed out why Krishna should be glorified. So basically, he is recommending to Narada the Srimad Bhagavatam as the Akhilam Darshanam, as the complete philosophy and the proper presentation of the Vedic knowledge, the essence of the Vedic knowledge. And therefore, ask Narada to describe the pastimes of Krishna. In so many ways, Narada requests Vyasadeva to do that, describe the pastimes of Krishna. Anyway, those points were there in chapter 5. Now in chapter 6, Sutta Uvacha, Sutta begins to continue the narration about his inspiration. And in that historical event that Sutta Goswami is describing, where Vyasadeva, in his despondency, meets his spiritual master, in that historical event, after Narada Muni hears, after Vyasadeva hears about Narada Muni's life, and how by associating with great souls and hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam he becomes enlightened, he begins to ask further questions about Narada's life. Of course, he's only heard up until the time that he was enlightened by the Bhaktivedantas at a very young age, or instructed and trained by them as a spiritual master. He hasn't heard what happened after that, and he hasn't understood what is the connection between the person that is instructing him now, Narada Muni, which is millenniums later, and Narada Muni's previous birth as the maidservant. Certainly, when Vyasadeva met him, he was not the son of the maidservant, but a incarnation of the Supreme Lord. We read that, I think, in the previous chapter, in chapter 3, that Narada is the fourth incarnation of Krishna, the fourth Leela avatar. He's an empowered living entity. So he hasn't also heard how that had happened. So natural in their dialogue, which does result in their discussion, which ultimately will result in Vyasadeva's meditation and his compilation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Part of that discussion is Vyasadeva's natural questions about the rest of his life. Okay, we'll read about that. Vyasa uvacha. Bhikshuvir vipravasite vigyana deshtri vishtava vartamano vyasyadye tatakim akarod bhavan. Sri Vyas said, "What did you, Narada, do after the departure of the great sages who had instructed you in scientific transcendental knowledge before the beginning of your present birth?" So these questions that will be asked now about Narada's life by Srila Vyasadeva in text 2, text 3, and text 4, the answer to those questions comprise the rest of the chapter. So here's the first question. Asking Narada, what did he do after departure of the great sages who had instructed him in transcendental knowledge? In other words, the last thing we saw of Narada Muni is that before he left, or before the great sages left, because of his humility and because of their mercy, which was attracted by Narada's humility, they taught him the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the natural question is, what happened after? In your previous birth, before the beginning of this present birth. So this is very natural, as Vyas is Narada's disciple. And therefore, the disciple naturally wants to hear about the spiritual master's spiritual life, because he's interested in following in his footsteps. Therefore, it said he wanted to follow in Narada's footsteps in order to attain the same perfect stage of life. So he inquired. Prabhupada in the purport describes that this process is known as Sadharma Pricha, asking about what is correct or what is the proper thing, or asking about duty or religion, spiritual inquiry. I believe this Sadharma Pritcha is one of the 64 items of devotional service. Text 3. Svayambhuva kaya vritya vartitam te parambhaya katam chedam udasrakshi kale prapte kalevaram. Translation. O son of Brahma, how did you pass your life after initiation? And how did you attain this body having quit your old one in due course? So these are the next questions. I guess they're similar. How did you pass your life after initiation? And how did you attain this body having quit your old one in due course? Narada Muni in his previous life was just an ordinary maidservant. So how he became so perfectly transformed into the spiritual body, paternal bliss and knowledge is certainly important. He's the son of a maidservant. How he got this spiritual body? Text 4.
Prakalpa vishayanetan smritam te munisattama nahi esha javadatkala esha sarva nirakriti.
O great sage, time annihilates everything in due course. So how is it that this subject matter, which happened prior to this day of Rama, is still fresh in your memory, undisturbed by time? Because as the body changes, then with the body we also, to a certain extent, lose the conscious memory of that body. So how is Narada, therefore, how is this subject matter still fresh in his memory? In the Bhagavad Gita, also in the fourth chapter, Krishna says, what is that? Imam vivashvate yogam proktavan aham abhiyam vivishvan manave prahur manur ishvakave bharit. Anyway, just to get to the point in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, ask Krishna, how is that possible? If you're standing here, then how could you have instructed the sun god hundreds of millions of years ago? And Krishna says, many, many births both you and I have passed. I can remember them all, but you cannot, O subduer of the enemy. So it's understood that with the change of body, one forgets his memory is also, he also cannot remember that previous life. So these are the questions, and then Narada begins to answer.
Narada uvacha bhikshubhir vipravasite vijnana deshtrivir mama vartamano vyasyadye tata etar akarsham.
Sri Narada said, the great sages who imparted scientific knowledge of transcendence to me departed for other places, and I had to pass my life in this way. So this is the answer to the first question he asked. What did you do after your departure? So we'll see that after the... Narada is speaking about his previous life. And we see that after he commits himself to spiritual life, and that commitment is accepted, then there's a change in his life. And this type of commitment and this type of association with great souls, it brings a change in one's life. According to the depth of our commitment will manifest in how rapid that change is. And we'll see here the change happens by one's own effort and also by the will of God. In other words, when one becomes inspired by great devotees to to commit himself to spiritual life. That commitment invokes a great change in his life, both by the power of his own practices and both by the reciprocation of Krishna to facilitate his spiritual advancement. That is an important symptom visible after initiation by the bona fide spiritual master. Tangible change in his life, although he was only a boy of 5 years of age.
Ekatmajame janani yoshin mudha chakinkari mayatmaje nanyakato chakre sneha nubandhanam.
I was the only son of my mother, who is not only a simple woman, but a maidservant as well. Since I was her only offspring, she had no other alternative for protection. She bound me with the tie of affection. So this is natural. She was the simple woman, and Narada was her only son. And therefore, because Narada was her only son, even though he was young, she sought, at least psychologically, protection from him. And when someone depends on you, it invokes naturally your affection. So he was bound in that sneha. Anubandhanam. He was tied by that affectionate bondage.
Sasvatanta nakalpasi yoga sheman mamechati ishasya hi visheloko yoshadaru mayita.
Translation. She wanted to look after my maintenance properly, but because she was not independent, she was not able to do anything for me. The world is under the full control of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, everyone is like a wooden doll in the hands of a puppet master. So although that relationship was there, and it was based on mutual affection and protection, his mother, she's described as Swatantra. She's not her independent. She's dependent. She's not independent. She's dependent. And therefore, it's a limit to how much one can protect, as it is a limit to how much one can control. There's five factors of action, and only one factor is the endeavor. So just as it's a limit to how much the living entity can endeavor and control and move things, there's a limit to how much he can protect. Although naturally, the material life, that illusion is there, that I am protected by my family, or I protect my family. Deha patya kali tradishu atma sanyesh pasatsvati tesham dhanam panamam prashanapi na pashyati. That although everyone has died in the history of the world, one's father has died and one's father's father has died, and in the history everyone has died, then no one, but a pashanapi napashyati, although one is, this is actually Sukadeva Goswami's instructions to Maharaj Pickett, although one is experienced in that fact, you're experienced in the fact that everyone has died. Still, pashanapi napashyati. Pashanapi, they see that fact. Napashyati, they don't see that fact. Rather, atma sanyesh vasatsvati. That they feel, they take shelter in the fallible soldiers of the family. As if they can actually protect you. So we can see.
Aham chitad brahmakule ushivantarapekshaya digdesha kalav Yutpano Balaka Panchahayana.
When I was a mere child of 5 years, I lived in a Brahmana school. I was dependent on my mother's affection, had no experience of different lands.
Ekada nirgatam gehad duhantim nishigampati sarpo dishat pada sprishta kripanam kalachodita.
Once upon a time, my poor mother, when going out one night to milk a cow, was bitten on the leg by a serpent, influenced by Supreme Time, purport. That is the way of dragging a sincere soul nearer to God. The poor boy was being looked after only by his affectionate mother, and yet the mother was taken from the world by the Supreme Will in order to put him completely at the mercy of the Lord. So we can see, after his commitment, his initiation, there was some seriousness in Narada Muni to advance. And the Lord reciprocates that seriousness. He makes facilities to remove the obstacles. I remember when I first was coming to Krishna consciousness, my family was opposed, and it seemed like a very formidable obstacle. But I really sincerely wanted to serve Krishna fully. And somehow or other, Krishna made the arrangement. Miraculously, Krishna made the arrangement. And I think you're also experiencing that too. That the sincere desire was there, that I want to dedicate my life to Krishna. And there were obstacles, and Krishna made the arrangement. So Narada, actually, in Narada's heart, was this desire for full spiritual life. And somehow or other, Krishna made the arrangement. And we can see, although the arrangement appears to be very, not arrangement, his circumstances appear to be difficult. There's actually no difficult circumstance for the devotee. Good or bad, everything is bringing him closer to Krishna. So Krishna made the arrangement to bring him closer. And he's making the arrangements to bring us closer. Everything that's manifesting before us, everything that's transforming and moving in our environment and affects us, is a direct arrangement by the Supreme Lord to facilitate our spiritual advancement and bring us closer to Him. Here it says this is the way of dragging a sincere soul nearer to God. When I heard Bhorijan Prabhu talk about this tape, he said, even a sincere soul needs to be dragged. So this is Krishna. This is Kala. Kala Chodita. His mother was influenced by Supreme Time. That's Krishna. Kala is Krishna. Time means that matter moves around us. And by the influence of time, movement of matter affects our environment, giving us happiness and distress. Good things happen and bad things happen. But actually, for a devotee, all that is happening is that Krishna is bringing him closer. And therefore, the devotee sees the environment as friendly. As one gets transcendental knowledge, he sees the environment as friendly. Just as a son, even if he is punished by his father, if he has proper knowledge and his father is affectionate, he sees it as friendly. So, this is the devotee's vision.
Tadataramishasya bhaktanam samabhishtita abhipsita anugraham anyamanana pratishtam dishamutaram.
I took this as special mercy of the Lord, who always desires benediction for his devotee. And so thinking, I started for the north. Such a difficult thing at such a young age that he lost his mother and she bound him in, she was maintaining him. He was bound with her affection. And he was such a young boy. But because he had already previously been trained in transcendental knowledge by the Bhaktivedantas, he was able to see Vedyam Vastava Atra Vastadam. He was able to distinguish reality from illusion. The illusion is that things are happening by chance, and therefore one is in tremendous anxiety, because at any moment anything can happen. But the devotee sees that material energy is directly being moved by Krishna, and it's being directly moved for his benediction. And therefore, as a devotee looks back on his life, he'll see how everything that has happened was perfectly designed to elevate him in Krishna consciousness. Purport. Confidential devotees of the Lord see in every step a benedictory direction of the Lord. What is considered to be an odd or difficult moment in the mundane sense is accepted as special mercy of the Lord. Everything is Maya also means mercy. How the material energy moves for us is mercy. And if we respond to it in the proper way, and responding to the movements of the material energy is to, in other words, around us the material world transforms, and sometimes it puts us in difficult situations. Our destiny is inevitable. What happens to us, or karma, or destiny, we cannot control. How we react, we can control. So the devotee, seeing when the material energy is moving beyond his control, rather than wasting his time trying to reorganize it for his material pleasure and sense gratification, which he can't do anyway because the will of God is absolute and good, rather than wasting time in trying to control it for his sense gratification, because of his ahankar or his sense that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. Rather than that, he just reacts to it for his own, he just sees how he can react to it to make spiritual advancement. Or sees what those circumstances dictate to him in terms of Krishna's service. And when you react that way, then you see God's purpose and his mercy to actually elevate you and make you advance in Krishna consciousness. But if you're not surrendered to God, you want to be the controller and the enjoyer, then you'll lament and waste all your time trying to change the inevitable, which will entangle you further in the bodily concept of it. Mundane prosperity is a kind of material fever, and by the grace of the Lord, the temperature of this material fever is gradually diminished and spiritual health is obtained step by step. Mundane people misunderstand it. So sometimes our prosperity will change. And we'll lose some prosperity, maybe. The Prabhupada said that's like a fever. Because we're so affected by our environment that material prosperity can intoxicate us with false ego and the desire to control and material attachment and the concept of the enjoyer. So a lot of time, the external is very much related to the internal in terms of our consciousness. Sometimes when a devotee loses externally, what's also is reduced is his sense of false ego and desire to control. It's just like when the fever goes down, it also indicates something in, that internally something is going down also. When the fever goes down, then also the infection or disease is also going. So sometimes material prosperity can be a kind of material fever. Any questions? Next verse. Spatan janapadam tatra puragrama vrajakaram keta karbata vatishcha vanan yupavanani cha. After my departure, I passed through many flourishing metropolises, towns, villages, animal farms, mines, agricultural lands, valleys, flower gardens, nursery gardens, and natural forests. Purport. After getting an impetus in spiritual life, Sri Narada Muni, even though a mere child, did not waste time for a single moment with economic development, although he passed towns and village mines and industries. He continually went on to progressive spiritual emancipation. So again, this is showing how one advances. He was trained, then he surrendered to his spiritual master, and when that surrender was solidified and that commitment was accepted, they became very serious in spiritual life. And due to the strong desire in his heart to serve Krishna, Krishna made all arrangements for his spiritual advancement. And that will happen to us. Krishna will make all arrangements for our spiritual advancement, but we won't see them as arrangements for our spiritual advancement because they will reduce or disturb our material situation. And rather seeing it as the Lord's mercy, right, to give us an opportunity to increase our spiritual life, we will fight the situation, especially if it's imposed by other people. We will fight it. We will politic against it. We will lament. We will feel sorry for ourselves. But look at Narada's example. Strong desire from associating from the Bhaktivedantas for Krishna consciousness. And therefore, due to that strong desire, there was a change in him. And because of the change in him, Krishna, the Krishna's made an arrangement for him to come closer to him. See how he responded. And then here, he did not waste a single moment. So then immediately he left and he walked by so many different things. But he did not waste a single moment with the economic development. Although there was towns, villages, etc. So this is very much, we can see, it's vivasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunanda. His consciousness became resolute and determined. And we'll see the effect and result of this type of consciousness.
Chittadatu vichitradrin ibha bhagna bujaduman Jalashayan Shiva Jalan Nalani Surasevata Chitraswanai Patraratai Vibramad Brahmarasya.
I passed through hills and mountains full of reservoirs of various minerals like gold, silver, and copper, and through tracts of land with reservoirs of water filled with beautiful lotus flowers, fit for the denizens of heaven, decorated with bewildered bees and singing birds. So he's walking.
Nalavenu shrastamba kushaki chakka gavaram eka evatitayat eka evatiyatoham adraksham vipanam mahat koram patibayakaram yalo luka shivajiram.
I passed alone through many forests of rushes, bamboo reeds, sharp grass, weeds, and caves, which are very difficult to go through alone. I visited deep, dark, and dangerous, fearful forests, which were the play yards of snakes, owls, and jackals. So Prabhupada says, it is the duty of a mendicant, Parivrajakacharya, to experience all varieties of God's creation by traveling alone through all forests, hills, towns, villages, etc., to gain faith in God and strength of mind, as well as to enlighten the inhabitants with the message of God. A sannyasi is duty-bound to take all these risks without fear. And it describes how Lord Chaitanya, when he took sannyas, went through the Jarakanda forest. So, So this is the sannyasis in days of yore would do this. They would leave the illusion. You know, when you I mentioned this before. When you stay in one place long enough, you start to organize things for your own comfort and sense gratification, and therefore you feel secure. I remember the first week I went away to college, which was, you know, boarding college. I remember how I felt homesick. It only took me a week before I knew where all the sense gratification was, before I organized everything. So therefore, a sannyasi, he leaves the illusion of family life, the illusion that I am the controller, and I am the enjoyer, and I'm controlling my environment. And then when he travels, he goes out to God's creation. And what happens? He does not know where his food comes from, but yet food comes. So it develops his faith that it's not him that's the controller, but that God is. And this is the symptoms of surrender, that you actually see that God is the maintainer and protector. They're actually the symptoms of surrender. When you surrender to God's will, then you will experience that. Because sometimes God's will, if we actually sincerely surrender to God's will, then there'll be all sorts of situations that arise that are beyond our... When you surrender to God's will, then you'll come into all sorts of situations where apparently are materially disadvantageous. But then Krishna will provide. Just like Prabhupada, God's will, he went to America. He didn't make material calculations. It was God's will, and he went, and then he saw, and he experienced how Krishna was always there, providing and maintaining. Prabhupada said that the ant gets one grain of sugar and the elephant gets tons of hay, but they're both provided for. You live out in the forest, but you see Krishna protects you. He gives you shelter. And here it says he went to fear forest and caves, which are the play yards of snakes, owls, and jackals. Haridas Thakur lived in a cave with a snake. And then the people were fearful of coming to that cave. So Haridas Thakur wasn't afraid of the snake. But because he wanted to give shelter to the people, he decided to leave. And then immediately the snake went. Because the super soul is also in the heart of the snake. I know these Russian devotees, when they were put in prison, when they were trying to spread Krishna consciousness, they were in a situation where apparently they had no control. But still they saw how Krishna protected them. then you can actually see the Paramatma moving. I remember when I got kidnapped and I was put in a situation where it appeared that I was in a very dangerous situation. But in that situation, where by circumstance I was put in a situation where everything was out of my control, then I could see God's control and God's protection. I got so much faith from that. Because although I was accosted, kidnapped by very, by these dacoits and rogues, but I saw how Krishna was protecting me at every moment. And therefore, I actually was able to see God. I got so much confidence how he was controlling and joining. So therefore, the sannyasis, because it's at the end of their life and they want to deepen their realization, therefore they go out and preach and travel and they get so much faith seeing how Krishna protects them. I had one god brother, he did a Kartik Vrata. He chanted 108 rounds a day. And one Kartik Vrata, he read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam in Kartik. And then one Kartik Vrata, he did Mauna. So one time he told me what he did, and I told him, a greater austerity for you would be to go out and preach. The next year he went to Bosnia, Sarajevo, when it was under siege during the war, to preach. When it was under siege. And he got so much faith in God and strength in mind. So this is part of God's plan for Narada. Because he was qualified, he arranged circumstances to increase his faith in God and strength of mind. Prabhupada said, in this age of Kali, sannyasa is forbidden for ordinary men. One who changes his dress to make propaganda is a different man from the original ideal sannyasis. One should, however, take the vow to stop social intercourse completely and devote life exclusively to the service of the Lord. So I like this also. I remember this. Prabhupada said, we're not like those sannyasis, that we can perform such austerities. But still, we may not be like those sannyasis, so strict, but at least we should stop social intercourse, not act like ordinary people, become more serious, devote our life exclusively to service of the Lord. Now, also very interesting, last sentence that Prabhupada said, in this age, devotional service of hearing and repeating the holy glories of the Lord is strongly recommended. And one who takes the vow of renunciation of family life need not imitate the Pati Vrajakacharya like Narada or Lord Chaitanya, but may sit down at some holy place and devote its whole time and energy to hear and repeatedly chant the holy scriptures left by the great Acharyas, like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So that option is also there for those who are not so advanced. Any questions so far, James? Are you becoming inspired by Narada Muni's commitment? It's so nice, that idea. Your commitment is there. That's what spiritual life means, the vow or commitment. And then in response to that vow or commitment, then Krishna makes all arrangements for us to strengthen our faith and develop our Krishna consciousness.
Parishranten jiatma ham trit parito babukshita snatva pitva radena ja upaprishto gatashama.
Thus traveling, I felt tired, both bodily and mentally. And as I was both thirsty and hungry, so I took a bath in a river lake and also drank water. By contacting water, I got relief from my exhaustion. So the mendicant can meet all his needs by the gifts of nature without being a beggar at the doors of the householders. The mendicant, therefore, does not go to the house of a householder to beg, but to enlighten him spiritually. Okay, next verse.
Nimanuje ranye vipalo pasta astrita atmanatmanam amastam yata shrutam achintayam.
After that, under the shadow of a banyan tree in an uninhabited forest, I began to meditate upon the supersoul situated within, using my intelligence as I have learned from the liberated souls. So, this is the result. Prabhupada says in the purport here, Sri Narada contacted bona fide spiritual masters and served them sincerely and got enlightenment rightly. Thus he began to meditate. So by service, one develops the ability to meditate. This is the basis of Prabhupada's mission. Prabhupada's mission, which is based on spreading Krishna consciousness and doing service and dedicating ourselves to the order of the spiritual master, purifies us and prepares us to actually sit down and chant Hare Krishna. This consciousness is firmly developed by a devotee who has rendered loving service unto the Lord by carrying out the orders of the spiritual master. So this was Prabhupada's example. So here, it also, it's very nice here. How is meditation? You meditate by direction of the intelligence under the guidance of the spiritual master, after cultivating the service mode. So everything is there in the process of Krishna consciousness. Matino, guided by that intelligence. So although it's kind of almost all of a sudden, he feels tired, he takes bath, he meditates, it's happening very, very rapidly for Narada Muni by his sincerity and his qualification. It's not a question of the amount of time. It's the question of the purity of our effort. And it may take time to develop the purity of our effort. But if somehow or other we can sincerely desire to satisfy the Supreme Lord and surrender to the orders of the spiritual master, then very, very rapidly we'll become qualified for meditation and internal realization of Krishna consciousness. And then Krishna can give us things all at once too. I remember one of my godbrothers, he was lamenting, he was in Vrindavan because he had so many managerial responsibilities and he was so sincere. But he also had such a strong desire to internally cultivate Krishna consciousness. And I remember he was lamenting because he was trying to internally cultivate Krishna consciousness, but so much service, so much burden, so much headache was there. So one friend of ours, one other sannyasi of ours, who was respected, told him, he said, he told him, he was complaining, I have no time. He said, and Krishna will give you everything at once by your service. He'll give you the ability at once. Anyway, it's so nice, this example.
Jayatas charanam bojam bhava nirjata chetasa okantya shru kalakshasya vidyasinmeshanai hari.
As soon as I began to meditate upon the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, with my mind transformed in transcendental love, tears rolled down my eyes, and without delay, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, appeared on the lotus of my heart. So he began to meditate, then the word bhava, he attained bhava. Narada's desire was so strong. Just see what mercy it was.
he lost his mother. It was such a tragic situation for a child at five. But Krishna was preparing him to strengthen his mind and give him faith in God so that he can meditate with such desire and one-pointed attention that Krishna himself would appear to him within the mind. And that's what bhava is. The word bhava is significant here. The bhava stage is attained after one has transcendental affection for the Lord. So Prabhupada then goes over again the stages of adau, shraddha, tata, sadhu, sangha. Very nice. The first initial stage is called shraddha, or liking for the Supreme Lord. And in order to increase that liking, one has to associate with pure devotees of the Lord. I really like Jane Prabhupada's definition of faith. Shraddha is not, it's just like faith, but he calls it a liking. Faith is a liking for the Supreme Lord. And the liking increases when you, or that shraddha increases that when you associate with pure devotees. And then the liking increases when you adopt the practices and so on. And when the liking is mature, it's called prema. And then it says here, all the above, being so charged with transcendental love, there comes a strong feeling of separation which leads to the eight different kinds of ecstasies. At bhava comes the astika sattvika bhavas. Hairs standing on end, tears coming from the eyes, the body trembling. So he achieved this bhava. If you look through the purport, you yourself can figure out the different stages of devotion, how Prabhupada described it.
Premati bara nirvina pulakango tinirvita Ananda Samplavelino Napashamubayamune.
So this says prema. And it describes it. O Vyas, at that time, being exceedingly overpowered by feelings of happiness, every part of my body became separately enlivened. Being absorbed in an ocean of ecstasy, I could not see both myself and the Lord. So this appears that the bhava was even maturing into prema. And therefore Prabhupada said, you cannot explain it. Right, James? Sometimes when we have a deep spiritual experience, we cannot explain it to another person. Right? If I've tasted something that you have not tasted, again, I was listening to Borijan, and Borijan gave the example of a jackfruit. You've never eaten a jackfruit, have you? So Prabhupada said one time an Englishman asked a Bengali, what does a jackfruit taste like? And the Bengali said, it's like drinking sugarcane juice filtered through a Muslim's beard. You know, it was just like, no way. So how to explain prema? But Prabhupada describes here, each and every part of the body or senses has its particular function. After seeing the Lord, all the senses became fully awakened to render service unto the Lord, because in a liberated state, the senses are fully efficient in the service of the Lord. So fully awakened. In other words, your eyes just want to see the Lord. You know, and the ears just want to hear the transcendental sounds of the Lord, and the senses just want to experience the fragrance which is offered to the Lord. And the tongue just wants to taste the prasadam of the Lord. Each individual sense becomes completely awakened to render service. It becomes imbued, saturated with love of Godhead. The senses become separately enlivened to serve the Lord. And at that stage, one is so is so absorbed in the object of love. He's so absorbed, actually, in the feelings of love. He becomes so absorbed in love that sometimes he can't even distinguish the object of love. Anyway, what happens here, he becomes absorbed in ecstasy. He could not see both himself and the Lord.
Rupam bhagavato yatan manakantam suchapaham apasyan sahasotaste vaiklavyad
durmana iva. The transcendental form of the Lord, as it is, satisfies the mind's desire and at once erases all mental incongruities. Upon losing that form, I suddenly got up, being perturbed, as is usual when one loses that which is desirable. So he experienced the Lord's form. And Prabhupada describes, we experience so many forms in this world, but none of them can satisfy the mind. They are once you've seen that form, it is not satisfying. In other words, the form that is most satisfying to the mind. Right? Sometimes we think that a form will be satisfying to the mind. For a man, the form of a woman he may think is satisfying the mind. Or for an artist, a beautiful picture will satisfy the mind. Or like looking at some beautiful garden. But the thing that actually gives the most satisfaction to the mind is the form of the Lord. And once seeing that, we cannot be satisfied with anything else. Therefore, Maharaj Pariksit, we didn't mention this, the name Pariksit means examiner, because he saw the form of the Lord when he was in the womb of his mother, and therefore the rest of his life he was looking for that form. It's like if you were a greedy man and someone gave you $1 billion right in your hand. It's yours. $1 billion right in your hands. It's yours. And you're a greedy man. And then 1 minute later, he said, it's not yours. So much lamentation. What we desire life after life was obtained by Narada Muni, and losing sight of him again was certainly a great shock for him.
Dijikshu starahambuya pranidaya manoradi vikshamano pinapasyam avitripta ivatara.
I desired to again see that transcendental form of the Lord, but despite my attempts to concentrate upon the heart with eagerness to view that form again, I could not see him anymore, and thus dissatisfied, I was very much aggrieved. Now, it's very interesting, because what happened was, when he didn't see the form of the Lord, he got up. But then he realized the form of the Lord was gone. So again, he sat down and started to meditate in the same way. But nothing happened. He did the same thing and nothing happened. So purport, there's no mechanical process to see the form of the Lord. It completely depends on the causeless mercy of the Lord. We cannot demand the Lord to be present before our vision. One should simply await the opportune moment and go on discharging prescribed duty and devotional service to the Lord. Narada Muni thought that the Lord can be seen again by the same mechanical process which was successful in the first attempt. But in spite of his utmost endeavor, he could not make the second attempt successful. The Lord is simply independent of all obligations. He can simply be bound up by the tie of unalloyed devotion. So it's interesting. So if our practices cannot invoke the presence of the Lord, then why should we do them? But the point is, they can invoke the presence of the Lord, but still, to give bhava is in the Lord's hands. Therefore, one of the characteristics of bhava bhakti is sadulabha. It's very difficult. cannot attain it by any practice. In the example I gave before, and Prabhupada's going to resolve this, how, like, Narada Muni attracted mercy before when he was young. But bhakti is causeless. It cannot be caused by your own effort. But by your own effort, you may attract bhakti. If you express sincere need to a person who is merciful, let's say you're a poor man and you express a sincere need for money to a very wealthy man who is merciful, it's not by your effort you get the money, but still you may attract his mercy. And you will attract his mercy if he's merciful and if you legitimately have need. So if we are humble, and therefore humility means, without humility you can have bhakti, because humility means absence of false prestige. If you have false prestige, then there's no want or desire because you think you have everything. If you're in the illusion that I'm independent, I have everything, and I'm great, and I don't need service, and I don't need God's service, and I don't need God, you can't get him. But if you're humble, humility, then you can have bhakti. And that yearning and desire and that humility can attract the Lord's mercy. But still it's mercy because you don't deserve it, and it happens by his will, not your effort. And Prabhupada says it so nicely, when he pleases, God, he pleases, being satisfied with the sincere attempt of devotional service, depending completely on the mercy of the Lord, then he may be seen out of his own accord. So when you practice devotional service sincerely, depending on his mercy for your success, when he pleases, he may be seen. Any questions on this? Nice. Evam yatantam dijane mamaha gocharagiram gambira shlakshnaya vacha sucha prashamayam iva. How much time do we have on this side? Seeing my attempts in that lonely place, the personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to all mundane descriptions, spoke to me with gravity and pleasing words just to mitigate my grief. So Narada was so qualified, his desire was so strong. In the Vedas, it said that God is beyond the approach of mundane words and intelligence, and yet by his causeless mercy, one can have suitable senses to hear or to speak to him. The Lord was so much pleased with Narada, and therefore the necessary strength was invested in him so he could hear the Lord. So he had so much desire, because he saw the Lord and the Lord was gone. So there was separation. When you're attached and the object of your attachment is gone, so much desire comes. And by that desire, then the Lord appeared. He invested Narada with the potency to actually communicate with him. And this is actually our process of Krishna consciousness. Our practice of Krishna consciousness is the mood of separation. But to have the mood of separation, we have to have the mood of attachment. We have to be sorry that we're not with God. We have to be upset that we're not seeing him and experiencing him. So there must be some attachment, but the attachment and desire will increase by the mood of separation. And therefore, that's the mood in which we should chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, we should chant the Hare Krishna mantra like a child who is crying for his mother. Because there's so much sincerity in that. There's so much attachment in that. And it's that sincerity or attachment that actually attracts the Lord's mercy. Antasmin janmani bhavam
Samam Jastumi Harati Avipakvakashayanam Didarshoham Kuyoginam.
This is what the Lord said. O Narada, the word hunter means, O affectionate. It's like an affectionate address. O Narada, the Lord spoke, I regret that during this lifetime you will not be able to see me anymore. Those who are incomplete in service and who are not completely free from all material taints can hardly see me. So this is very interesting. So the Lord revealed to him his two disqualifications. Kshayanam and Kuyogam. He still had impurities within his heart. And he was incomplete in service. Incomplete in service also means incomplete in the desire to serve. So he was impure. In other words, he was impure and his devotion wasn't enough. And what was his impurity? His impurity is that he was attached to the mode of goodness. And therefore he was attached to a lonely, solitary place. Because that's also mixed with passion. Attachment is passion. If you're attached to the mode of goodness, it's also mixed with passion. To be completely freed from all material tinges is to become free from the mode of goodness also. To search the audience of God in a lonely forest is considered to be in the mode of goodness. So in his impure life, Narada went to the forest out of attachment for goodness. And in his pure life, he traveled and preached. Right? Just like you, James. You wanted that impersonal type path. And you were attached to your peace. That was also impure. Now you have no attachment to your peace. You're becoming more advanced. Sri Narada, it says, devotional service in his present life, which is completely free from all material hankerings, Narada Muni does not go into the forest, although he can turn every place in Vaikuntha by his presence. He travels from one planet to another to convert men, gods, kinnaras, gandharvas, and all others to become devotees. By his activities, he has engaged many devotees like Prahlad, Dhruva, and many others. So he had material attachment. He was not complete in service. The maturity of his desire to satisfy Krishna is not yet mature. Also, not complete in service, I think, also means not complete in your mission and service to the spiritual master. That's also real. Prabhupada also, the best method is that one should live in a place where the transcendental form of the Lord is worshipped. The temple of the Lord is a transcendental place, whereas the forest is a materially good habitation. Neophyte devotees recommend, if you want to meditate on Krishna, then you should do archana, deity worship.
Sakridya darshitam rupam etat kamayate naga matkama sanakai sadhu Sarvan Muchati Richayan.
O virtuous one, you have only once seen my person, and this is just to increase your desire for me. Because the more you hanker for me, the more you get freed from all material desires. So Narada was wondering why, if Narada wasn't pure, why did he appear before him? Before. And this is the answer. He wasn't pure. Why did he appear before him? To only increase his hankering. He was incomplete in service. Incomplete in service means incomplete in the desire to satisfy the Lord. And therefore, to increase that hankering, the Lord disappeared. In other words, to give Narada Muni the qualification to see God on his own, not just by Krishna's mercy. The qualification to see God is simply our desire to see him. God is there in our bhava or service. That was the message that Krishna gave to the gopis. Because Krishna left Vrindavan for so many years and then sent Uddhava back. And when Uddhava went to see the gopis, he delivered that message to the gopis. Krishna said, I am never separate from you there, you. I'm there in my bhava manifestation. Krishna is not in a material place. And we can contact Krishna immediately by our bhava or our devotion. And it's at the stage of bhava that we have the potency to actually perceive and appreciate the Lord. So to increase that desire, Krishna appeared and then left. He was not yet qualified. It was just complete mercy of the Lord. But to bring him to the state where he actually was qualified, in other words, there's no difference between our intense hankering to serve the Lord and the darshan of the Lord. Because Krishna is not manifest until we have that love. That love is what makes Krishna manifest. Premanjana charita bhakti valochinena santas sadaiva hideyeshu valokayanti. Purport, a living being cannot be vacant of desires. He is not a dead stone. He must be working, thinking, feeling, and willing. When he thinks, feels, and wills materially, he becomes entangled. And conversely, when he thinks, feels, and wills for the service of the Lord, he becomes gradually freed from all entanglement. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. We have thinking and thinking, feeling, and willing, which is going in the direction of how I can enjoy, how I can control, how I can get prestige, how I can get praise, how I can get fame. And it has to be transformed to thinking and feeling and willing about Krishna. How Krishna can be pleased. How I can serve Krishna. The more a person is engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord, the more he acquires a hankering for it. That is the transcendental nature of godly service. Material service has satiation, where spiritual service of the Lord has neither satiation nor known. One can go on increasing his hankerings for the loving service of the Lord, and yet it will not find satiation. By intense service of the Lord, one can experience the presence of the Lord transcendentally. This is our philosophy. This is why the mood of separation is good, because it increases our desire to satisfy the Lord. And the Lord is present in that service and in that desire. Serving Krishna increases our desire to serve Krishna. It increases our bhakti or devotion. And when that desire or bhakti or devotion or that desire to satisfy Krishna is intense, then Krishna is actually there in that desire. Therefore, seeing the Lord means being engaged in his service, because his service and his person are identical. The sincere devotee should go on with sincere service of the Lord. The Lord will give proper direction as to how and where it has to be done. There was no material desire in Narada, but to increase his intense desire for the Lord, he was advised. In other words, he was liberated, but he did not have prema. And that's why Krishna does not destroy our manifest karma or our prarabdha karma. Because we need the body to practice devotional service and get prema. And the body means karma. Satsevya dirgayapi jatamai dridamati idvabhajam imam lokam gantama janatamasi. By service of the absolute truth, even for a few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. Consequently, he goes on to become my associate in the transcendental world after giving up the present deplorable material worlds.
So here, it's continuing why he appeared to him, before him, if Narada wasn't pure. And the answer was to increase his hankering for service. And here the value of that service is being discussed. That if you serve the absolute truth, you can attain firm and fixed intelligence in me. And what is that firm and fixed intelligence in me, or in Krishna? It's bhakti. In other words, when you render devotional service, it has permanent effect on the consciousness, imbuing it with bhakti, or the desire to satisfy Krishna, or give him pleasure. In other words, once that comes in the intelligence, then that's always there in the intelligence. The intelligence understands that it's good to give Krishna pleasure. It's good to use my senses to satisfy his senses. So just by some service, even a few days, you can attain this conception and idea in the sense, in the intelligence, permanently. And that intelligence will carry you on to become Krishna's associate after giving up this world. That's what the Guru gives, the Bhakti Lata Beej. Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beej. The Guru gives that, even if a short time, even for a few days, that conception can come into your spiritual intelligence permanently. And by service, that conception and understanding and realization that it's good to satisfy Krishna and serve him will remain permanent in the heart, and that will carry one further. Matir mayi nibandeyam navipadyeta karichit rajasarge narodheti smrityascha maranugrahat. Intelligence engaged in my devotion cannot be thwarted at any time, even at the time of creation as well as the time of annihilation. Your remembrance will continue by my mercy. So this answers Vyasa's question, how Narada remembered. How Narada remembered? Because this mati, this intelligence, which is engaged in devotion, cannot be thwarted at any time, not even death. That carries on. Just like we may not remember our previous life, but somehow or other, when we take the devotional service in this life, we start where we ended off in a previous life. Whatever buddhi or intelligence or idea we had that serving Krishna is good, I like it, that continues in the next life. Even though the memory of the material body and its relations may be destroyed, that bhakti is never destroyed. It stays permanently in the consciousness. Neha bhikmanasho sti pratyavayo navidyate solpam apyasya dharma chatayate. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution. Whatever you get in Krishna consciousness, 2% stays with you. Devotional service, Prabhupada says, rendered to the personality of God, it never goes in vain. Since the personality of God is internal, intelligence applied in his service or anything done in his relation is also permanent. And the Bhagavad Gita said that such transcendental service rendered under the personality of God, it accumulates birth after birth, and when the devotee is fully matured, the total service counted together makes him eligible to enter into the association of the personality of Godhead. So that intelligence is permanent. Just like in the story of Ajamil, which we'll read in the sixth canto, even though he got allured by a prostitute, that intelligence stayed within him even though it was covered. And it accrued, and then later he remembered. Ita varukto pararama tanmahat putam nabolingam malingam ishvaram.
Aham chitasmai mahatam mahiyase sirshna vanamam vidate nukampita.
Then that supreme authority personified by sound and unseen by eyes, but most wonderful, stops speaking, feeling a sense of gratitude. I offered my obeisances unto him, bowing my head. Any questions, Dan? So nice, that idea, how Prabhupada presented in the previous verse. Intelligence applied in his service is permanent. It carries on. And this answers Narada's last question on how he remembered.